This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. It's been nearly 2 weeks since state lawmakers replaced HB2. Mounting economic costs and damage to the state's reputation forced Republican leaders to get the law off the books. Has the General Assembly moved beyond identity politics? Well, yesterday, a group of Republicans in the state House introduced a bill to ban same-sex marriage in North Carolina. Now, the Supreme Court has already outlawed that kind of legislation when it overturned Amendment 1, but the sponsors of the new bill say the court ruling does not apply to their proposal. Meanwhile, the House passed a measure earlier this week limiting hog farms' liability in lawsuits. The bill limits the amount of damages plaintiffs can receive in future litigation. Here to give us the latest on the State General Assembly and more is Jeff DeBerry, WNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Let's start with this latest legislation, this bill filed to outlaw same-sex marriage.
Two of the most conservative members of the General Assembly, Larry Pittman and Michael Speciale, filed this bill. They're among the leading – Pittman is the lead sponsor on this. This is not going anywhere, to be clear, and just say that off of the top. This is an issue that is part same-sex marriage, is part states' rights, is part what North Carolina should be able to do. They are of the belief that the Supreme Court ruling, the federal judge ruling from the previous fall, from October 14, is not something that should have an effect on North Carolinians. I mean, this is noise, yeah. Is what this is. And I think we should note that after filing this bill, neither of them were particularly eager to speak with the media. Afterward, Pittman denied an interview request.
These are very conservative lawmakers pandering to their conservative base, and we understand that. But what you're saying here is interesting in a way, because that means the leadership, when you say it's not going to go anywhere, that means the leadership in both the House and the Senate are not going to let this thing get a hearing, and it's not going to get out for a vote. And if it did, it wouldn't pass. But what's interesting to me is how that has changed since, let's say, 2010, when we might expect, and in fact, there was this legislation, and getting Amendment 1 on the ballot was precisely this language and this Republican-controlled legislature that voted for it. Something is changing in North Carolina.
Something is changing in North Carolina. We've seen it across the country over the last 10 years or so. Duke professor William Chafe said to me a few years ago, I was working on a story, that true social change does not happen from the top down. It happens from the bottom up. And we have seen that in the political price to pay. If, again, they're not going to move this bill, if they were to move this bill, the political repercussions would be severe for Republicans in both chambers. It's not going anywhere because public sentiment has changed significantly on this in recent years.
Right. The more North Carolinians and anybody learns about these issues, the more attitudes change. And so while we had a 60% approval rate for Amendment 1, we now see 70% of people in North Carolina now say that same-sex marriage should be the law of the land. That's a huge and dramatic shift as people become educated. And the same with HB2. If you remember, HB2, initially people supported it. Of course, the legislature didn't allow us to see any of the information that would have helped us make a better decision. As people became informed, attitudes on HB2 shifted.
Sure. And I will add on the other side of it, or on a different side of it, is that this is a big, diverse state with all sorts of different communities, and this is a big, diverse state. Anti-LGBT proposals and legislation are not going anywhere. We will see those for years, if not decades to come, just as we have seen proposals that many will criticize for being thinly veiled racist proposals. I mean, here we are 50 years after the Civil Rights Act. We're still seeing those. So the movement on them, probably not so much, but we will still hear and be talking about these things for a while.
Fascinating stuff. We will stay tuned. Meanwhile, the hog farm bill, a measure to limit the amount of damages. So big hog operations now are protected from lawsuits by smaller groups of people and individuals. Those big operations now protected from because of the limit of liability.
Moving forward, yes. And there are about 500 plaintiffs, many of whom are in Duplin County, who have sued over pollution and over odor. So there are these pending lawsuits. There are about 26 of these. And a bill was introduced by a Republican representative from Duplin County named Jimmy Dixon. What this bill originally sought to do was to limit damages moving forward and retroactively limit the damages of those who have already filed lawsuits, who are already who have pending lawsuits against Smithfield, the world's largest pork producer, capping their damages. And this was controversial. It was in committee 2 weeks ago and then last week. And then on Thursday, It was at the bottom of the calendar. We're getting into a little bit of a procedural thing here, but it was at the bottom of the calendar. And quite suddenly, House Speaker Tim Moore said, now bring up House Bill 476 or 467 before the body. Don't see any debates. Don't see any amendments. Call for the vote right now. And people went scrambling back to their seats. And there was a vote very quickly on it. And then there was an objection to the final reading. People were very upset that he tried to ram this through. I mean, this is...
they haven't had a chance to see it. They weren't expecting this bill to be called.
No. Yeah. Well, it was controversial. We were expecting debate on it. And then he tried to sneak it through. So, needless to say, on Monday night, it came up before a final vote. And a Republican lawmaker moved to amend the bill to take out that retroactive provision because they said this is unconstitutional. This also is just not in line with good procedure for us here in the North Carolina House. And there are some hardline conservatives who are very much – they're consistent when it comes to procedure. Anyway, this amendment passed 59-56, one of the closest votes that I've seen in the 2 years I've been there. So effectively, they gutted that retroactive provision of the bill. It moves forward for future litigants, but not for those who have already filed lawsuits. However, that representative I mentioned, Jimmy Dixon, not so happy about it. He's going to see if he can get a change on the Senate side and bring it back before the body in the coming weeks.
The debate we would have had had the House Speaker allowed there to be any debate or consideration. Once again, bills ram through without talking about them and understanding the full ramifications. But had we had a debate, one of the criticisms would be, here they go again defending the interest of the big and the wealthy in North Carolina over and against the people who want have a right to sue, their interest once again put in second place by the North Carolina legislature, a debate that an argument that certainly Democrats have put forward.
Precisely. I mean, that is part of the debate that there was some of that on Monday night, but it really didn't deal with the David versus Goliath component of this.
The other David versus Goliath issue in this state, of course, is health care. 500,000 North Carolinians not allowed to be part of a Medicaid expansion because state lawmakers refused to expand Medicaid, and that meant anywhere from 3,000 to 500,000 North Carolinians not covered. Now, some Republican representatives would like to change that, but they're not calling it Medicaid expansion. Tell us about that.
Can't use that E word. Let's avoid the word expansion. That's what Donnie Lambeth, who's a former hospital executive, led Wake Forest Baptist for a number of years, and Greg Murphy, who's the only doctor in the General Assembly, are saying. They are, as we think about the spectrum of lawmakers in the North Carolina House, they are fairly centrist. What they are proposing is a plan that would increase who is available, who is able to get Medicaid. It would up the threshold to those living at 133% above the poverty line, so those making about $16,000 a year. If it advances, it's an ambitious plan. If it advances, it would add an estimated 200,000 people to Medicaid.
All right, so here's Donnie Lambeth talking about why he thinks it should go forward and its chances to move forward in the Republican-led legislature.
So I give it a 50-50 chance. I saw the comments the speaker made. I've already got to talk to the speaker about, in my own caucus, about why this is actually good for North Carolina and how the funds actually flow to the point that we're not taking on a new liability. We're actually net gaining from this option.
Republican Representative Donnie Lambeth of Forsyth County talking with Jeff Tiberi here on the state of things. So, and they're calling this the Carolina Cares.
That's right. I mean, what listeners will remember from years and years of coverage of this is there's been pushback to Medicaid expansion, despite there being a lot of people who need or could use health coverage in rural areas where many of these Republicans serve. This has to do with Obamacare. This has to do with the president and blocking his efforts and blocking the Affordable Care Act in recent years. So it's very ambitious.
Well,
and I don't think there's appetite for it, but we're talking about it, and the Republicans have had no appetite for this in recent years, so that does signal a change.
And do you hear any – I mean, he's giving it a 50-50 chance. I wonder what
– that seems optimistic, but we will see. He says what he needs to do is he needs to try to sell this to the caucus. And one key point on this is conservatives have been opposed to it because it would grow government spending. This proposal really puts the expanded costs on hospitals. So Lambeth believes there's a chance. We'll see in the weeks to come if it's got viability.
Meanwhile, beer.
Mm-hmm, beer.
Expanding beer in the state. Tell us about that.
This is a free market argument, a free market debate, I should say, about craft brewers in the state. North Carolina has more craft brewers than any other state in the Southeast, 200 now. And breweries are limited to distributing their own beer up to 25,000 barrels. After that, they have to enter into an agreement with a beer and wine wholesaler, a distributor. This goes back to a three-tiered ABC system that comes out of Prohibition. And you have three breweries now, Red Oak in Guilford County, Noda and Old Mech in Charlotte, that are coming up on that cap. And what they say is they don't want to enter into an agreement with a distributor because these distributors have portfolios of 900-some-odd products, and they want to be able to distribute their own beer as part of their business model. It doesn't make sense for them to do it. And that's the debate going on right now. We should note the beer and wine wholesalers have been around for 40 or so years. They're one of the 10 biggest contributors to political campaigns here in the state, so they have a lot of clout.
The wholesalers are, and they want to keep their control over this market when you get up. And, of course, this is putting a limit on the growth for craft breweries, which has grown exponentially. So, once again, it's the little guys against the big guys, and the big guys have put in a lot of money to protect their fiefdom at the moment. We'll see how it plays out. At this moment, is there any chance that this is going to happen? Or what do you see are the odds for this? Lift the cap part two.
Proposal is 25,000 barrels up to 200,000. That's kind of laughable. That's an opening argument, opening bid. We'll see if they can get a middle ground reached behind closed doors. It's going to take a lot to get this by Speaker Tim Moore and Senate Leader Phil Berger, who have respectively received about $100,000 and $285,000 from the beer and wine wholesalers in the last 2 years.
We will stay tuned. Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. Thank you, Jeff.
Always fun.
Just ahead, a large portion of the population in one Alabama county has no access to septic systems, and we'll find out the health problems that is causing and how one woman is trying to change all of that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.